Living Word, y'all are family, right? And so I said, y'all family, right? I see some of y'all sometime when I'm out in public, scare the devil out of me. It's just as beautiful. Hey, I said, hey, Living Word. I said, okay. Whew, Jesus. I thought you were a client that was coming for me. Come on, somebody. But I say that honestly, man, I'm so honored to be back. Today is going to be something different. Say different. So pastor says, hey, we're doing this series on Anchor. How many old school church saints do I have in here? I'm gonna test your churchology. I was raised Southern Baptist, and Baptists, we had songs about anchors. My soul's been anchored. Yeah, am I talking? Okay, so you're gonna get caught up already. And we had souls, anchor, and be very sure your anchor holds to the solid rock. That rock is Jesus. And so I was like, wait a minute, Pastor, what kind of service are we going to have? And he said, no, it's a series. I said, okay, cool. And I love the concept, showing how Jesus is our anchor in everything. That's just a simple way of saying it, right? So we going to talk about something. So I do comedy as well, so I got to make you laugh a little bit before I get deep. Technically, anchor, you get it? Some of y'all missed that joke. But God is the God that keeps us, because life is full of trouble. I'm going to tell some jokes, but y'all hear what I just said? Theme today is life is full of trouble. Now let's laugh. Okay, the story I'm going to deal with is dealing with one of my favorite people in the Bible. Now, in the Bible, some of y'all are deep and you are spiritual all your life. Some of you were born saved. God bless all, none of you. But in the Bible, we see these people and we think they are like just mythical. It's like, it's not real. I literally can't wait to get to heaven to see David. I just want to see how the hair really look. Can I get a witness? I want to see Moses and see if he still got that stick. When I get to heaven, I'm looking for certain people. But if I can be honest, next to Jesus and next to King David, my favorite Bible character, hands down, is Peter. Oh, some of y'all looking at me all sedated. He was too rough. Peter. Because Peter is us. All right, y'all. Let me talk to y'all. How many Peters do we have here today? All right. I bet y'all get those hands up in a little bit. Let's run it down right quick. Peter will cuss you at 1 o'clock. Preach a message to bring 3,000 to the kingdom at 2:30. Peter pulls a knife in the garden when they came after Jesus, cut the man's ear off, boom, and put it in his pocket. Within 24 hours, he denies 3 times that he ever knew the man. Oh, let's bring it home. We come to Living Word. Y'all got 3 services now, I'm confused. In the morning. Go to work tomorrow. After singing, he's great, he'll will make a miracle worker, hallelujah, ho, ho, yeah, mm-hmm. Go to work, and at the water cooler, they tell an off-color joke, and we laugh, because we don't want to look too saved. Sound like anybody you know? Peter. So be very careful when you judge Peter, because you all need a Peter in your life. I was raised Baptist. We come with usher boards. Who remember usher boards? My mama was president of the usher board, and my mother knew how to put an usher board together because she understood she needed them like the disciples. Yeah, you need a John. You know, the beloved one. He was all rosy. God bless you. Be seated here. Welcome to Living Word. Yeah, you need that. But every once in a while, when that unruly person comes into the church, John's not going to cut it. You need Switchblade Peter to say, listen, pastor says, sit right here. And if you don't sit in 3 seconds, you're going to see Jesus. Peter. And when I think about Peter, here's the truth. Peter mixes everything. I told this earlier. Peter is a little southern and he's a little northern. Let me help you. We know he had some northern in him because the parable talks about, story talks about when a pig in a blanket came down from heaven and God had to tell him twice to rise up and eat. If he was from the south, God didn't have to say nothing. When that pig came down, he would have already had his knife and his, thank you, Jesus. That pig wouldn't have made it to the ground. Can I get a witness? But he was southern because he liked the fish. Can I get a witness? Now, Peter was not related to me because there's also a story in the Bible where Peter was with Jesus and he needed some money and got a fish and money in the fish. And I couldn't have been Peter because when Jesus left, I would have jumped in the water to catch as many fish as I could. I got bills. Come on, somebody. But when I think about Peter, the one story in the Bible that we're going to today is the one I remember from Sunday school. Anybody remember Sunday school? When you heard about Peter, they didn't tell us that he cussed till we got to like higher classes because they didn't want to know that cuss words existed, even though you heard them. Come on, somebody. But there was a story in the Bible of Peter walking on the water. And I'm going to preface this message with this question. Is there anybody in this room that has walked or is walking on the water? Okay. It's going to make sense. I suggest if you're a Christian, the Bible says, many are the afflictions of the righteous. I love the fact that we just deal with this straight up because some people actually believe when you get saved, God floats you through life. Over trouble, over sickness, over hurt, over loss, you just float. Oh, look at them suffering. Oh, I'm glad I'm with you, Jesus. No. It's not a magic carpet ride. This is a walk of faith that God is walking with you through the trouble. And that's why the Anchor series is everything. So today, we go into the book. I hope you get this message. It's going to make sense at the end. I promise. Let's take this ride. Matthew 14, 22. Give it up for the media ministry. Are they just not phenomenal? It said, immediately Jesus made the disciples get into the boat and go ahead of him to the other side while he dismissed the crowd. Next scripture. After he had dismissed them, he went up on a mountainside by himself to pray. Later that night, say night, he was there alone. Next scripture. And the boat was already a considerable distance from land. Studies show 3 to 3.5 miles. So we deep sea fishing at this point. Y'all got me. Buffeted by the waves because the wind was against it. Next one. Shortly before dawn, Jesus went out to them walking on the lake. When the disciples saw him walking on the lake, they were terrified. Pause. This is also proof that most of the disciples were black. Some of y'all so deep, it's not even funny. Because they yelled out collectively, it's a ghost. And it ain't the Holy Ghost. Can I get a witness? They said in Christ, some of y'all are so saved in here. You know black folks don't do walking on water at night. You got to be crazy. They said and cried out in fear. Next scripture. But Jesus immediately said to them, take courage. It is I. Don't be afraid. Next one. Here go my boy. Somebody say, Peter. Peter couldn't turn down this opportunity. He said, Lord, if it's you, tell me to come to you on that water. Jesus, who loves to answer prayer, said, come. Peter got down out the boat, walked, did you hear that? Walked on the water and came towards Jesus. Now, as much as y'all want to knock Peter, there were 12 in that boat. At least Peter had enough faith to get out the boat. Can I give something right quick to break this down for you? Studies show that at this particular location, the Sea of Galilee was 650 feet below sea level. At its deepest point, the water was 150 feet deep, surrounded by mountains. It was the perfect place for a storm. So when these winds were hitting, it's hitting mountains below sea level, so that boat is rocking. Peter was a fisherman. He knew about rocking boats. And in the middle of all that, Peter said, hey, since you on the water and we row together, hey, as much as we knock them, what a step of faith. Because most of you would have been just like me, under the boat. Says he walked on the water. Next scripture. But when he saw, say saw. He's walking, but then he looked somewhere else. He saw the wind. He was afraid and beginning to sink. Many preachers preach this wrong. They say he was drowning. He wasn't drowning. They said beginning to sink. So in other words, before he went under, he cried out, Lord, save me. Next one. Immediately, Jesus reached out his hand, caught him, and said, you of little faith, why did you doubt? Next one, last one. And when they climbed into the boat, the wind died down. As a kid, I read that story, and it was like a beautiful story. The only thing I'd seen in life close to Peter walking on the water, I had a friend growing up, true story, when we were little boys playing at a creek, a five-foot creek, a snake showed up on one side of the creek. True story. My friend was so fearful, he took off running and ran across the water. He said, I believe, he ran across the water, and we haven't seen him since. I had a Facebook sighting. That was 40 years ago. Come on, somebody. But this is different water walking. This is water walking where he starts off in faith. Anybody sound familiar? You come on Sunday, Pastor Micah hit you with that word. You ready to jump in the lion's den? You ready to pour down fire? And then Monday happened. Doctor's appointment. We see something and need you to come back in for testing. Call comes. Your child in college. Yeah, tuition check did not go through. You've got 48 hours. Oh, you need to come pick up your child. Wife, husband, acting like the devil. You ready to call it in? After getting that word on Sunday, your biggest fight happened Monday. Now you're wondering, we gonna make it. Water walking through trouble requires one element. Your eyes stay on Jesus. Can I be real? Y'all family, and I did it the first service, I'm going to do it now because I told Pastor, we overcome by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of our testimony. Pastor reached out to me for coming here. He had no idea, and I had no idea, that I would literally be preaching what I'm walking. Short of a week ago, my oldest brother was rushed to the emergency room. He's in the ICU as I speak, with blood on his brain, two strokes in the head. Was not supposed to make it 5 days. He's still here and he's fighting. I've been going between court, going down, spending the night in Charlotte in the hospital with my brother on rotation. Pastor Micah said, well, I want you to preach about walking on the water. Life is full of trouble. I said, I think I got you. Because I'm walking it as I talk it. I would love to say that I have been totally in faith. Me and Jesus walking, because we good with that stuff. But when that thing hits you, first you flesh. Then you have to remind yourself who you belong to. Then you got to remind yourself to train your eyes to look to the one who is the only one that can walk you through the trouble. Can I be real with you? Read the text. In this story, I can't judge the disciples. But listen to this. Do you understand that before this happened in this book, Jesus had just worked the miracle of the 5,000. He fed 5,000 people with a couple of pieces of fish and some bread. And it was shortly after that, he sends them out, lets them get out there 3.5 miles. He's up there chilling in the mountain, lets them get in the storm, and he walks out. Could it be God has a way of setting us up so that we have a testimony to show other faith walkers how to walk on the water? But I don't want to hear you talk about water walking if your feet have always stayed dry. How can you tell me God can save my marriage and your marriage ain't never hit nothing? How can you tell me God can deliver me financially when you ain't never been broke? How can you tell me God can heal me and you've never seen sickness removed? Without a test, your ability to preach on faith walking, water walking means nothing, because somebody says, how did he do it? When did he do it? Give me your proof. I'm guilty of that myself. I said about my brother, blood on the brain. When I got the call, I went in my prayer closet. I'm praying and crying, praying and crying. Anybody been there? Praying and crying. Faith and hurting. Come out my closet. I said, let me call the family in. I'm the priest of the house. I'm supposed to pray. And I called my daughter in with my wife. My daughter's 14. And right when I was about to try to pray, the Lord said, no, you don't pray. I said, but I'm the shepherd of the house. He says, no, your daughter prays. Then he reminded me, wait a minute. Why would he say your daughter prays for your brother who has blood on his brain? He reminded me when my daughter was an infant, when we had to rush her to Duke University with blood on her brain. And God showed up in that hospital room and still has the doctors confounded. He said, I need her faith. Because she's walked on that. She's walked on that water before. She literally came in the room. She looked. I told her about her uncle. I'm waiting on her to fall out. She said, okay. I said, okay, that's disrespectful. She said, you ready? We touched hands. She said, Father, do for my uncle in Charlotte what you did for me when I was a baby. In Jesus' name, amen. I'm saying, no, give me a scripture. You got to put... That prayer has kept me. Because every time I'm in the hospital, can I be real? The winds, God ain't talking about winds going, I mean, winds blow you, go in your house and shut the door. Winds of life is financial winds. Winds of life is doctor's reports. Winds of life is losing a love. Winds of life is life hitting you from every side. And God says, can you, in the middle of seeing and feeling the wind, say, I still see you? In that hospital room for an entire week, I've had to practice this. When I hear the machines, I can't stand them. Boom, boom, ding, ding, ding. You know how it does it. Go off, that means the blood went lower, the blood pressure up, or the heartbeats go. And I'm sitting there, and I have to, I see Jesus. Jesus, I see you. Ding, 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 ding. I hit the button for the nurses. Boom. Jesus, I don't see this. Because my eyes are going to stay on the author and the finisher of my faith. How do you walk on the water no matter what you're facing? Don't do like Peter. Keep your eyes on the one. It's very easy to say it, because here's the truth. We live in a time where we get caught up with stuff, but I get revelation out of almost everything. I don't know what that is, but I just get a revelation on stuff, and it just ministers to me. But I'm going to say publicly, I'm so glad that this eclipse is over. I have never been so sick of hearing about two people. Oh, y'all going to, they said, what were you doing? I said, I was working. I don't even know when it happened. I just thought my TV clicked off. Come on, somebody. But even in an eclipse, this is going to help somebody. Y'all ready for this? First of all, an eclipse happened already. It happened on the cross. Y'all remember? People get caught up. They don't like to talk about that eclipse. They don't want to talk about that because that's real. But that's also powerful, because an eclipse, here's what happens. The sun, who gives all light, temporarily is blocked in darkness by the moon. Let's get spiritual. In your life, in my life, life is full of trouble. Trouble is the moments where the moon blocks your view of your sun. Question is, what is your response to the temporary blockage? Because the sun don't move. Sun is right where you saw it last. But when life comes and blocks the light, do you believe that the sun is gone? Or do you keep your eyes fixed, knowing this too shall pass? Even when the eclipse happened, the sun is not fully blocked. On the edges, you see light. Your marriage seems totally dead. Focus on that little light. Your finances are in the tank. Don't know how you're going to make it. Focus on the light. I'm going to hit something here, and I hope you don't get offended. At my brokest times, me and my wife, broke as we have been in our life, the one thing I have never messed with is the tithe. I ain't saying that to get no money. Can I be honest with you? Why didn't I mess with the tithe? Because my tithe was my way of saying to God, God, even though this storm is tearing my money up and I ain't really got no money, such as I have, I'm giving it to you. Because if I put this in your hand, it's my way of saying, Jesus, I still see you. And if I see you, I know you see me. And so this little 20 that might not be nothing nobody else means that's milk I might not be able to get tomorrow for my child. I've never seen the righteous forsaken. Every time I did it, God showed up and made a way. Every time I thought I was sinking like Peter, God's hand picked me up. I use this analogy because I wasn't going to do it, but Pastor Micah did it so beautifully. The other week, he talked about his bicycle. I love that story, because it let me know I'm old. I don't have a bicycle story. I go older than bicycle. I have a three-wheeler story. Anybody remember three-wheelers? Every real man in here, lift your hands if you had a three-wheeler. That's before we graduated to the bike. And I had a three-wheeler, and I used to try, if you were good, you could go on two wheels. But because my head has always been large for my body, when I would tilt, it never came back. It just went. You didn't have to laugh that hard. That's not God in that. I don't understand why you're laughing. And one time I did that, and I tilted, rolled over, and in our backyard there was like almost a cliff about this high. Now, when you're four, that's like a cliff. And I caught a little twig, and I was holding on. And I started hollering, help, 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 help. The dogs in the other yard started talking to me because they thought I was talking to him. I said, hell, I said, shut up, I'm talking to somebody. My dad had just got off work and heard me hollering. My dad comes over, sees me hollering with my head down. He says, look up. I said, help, help, help. He says, look up. I kept yelling, help. The third time he put bass on it. He scared me so bad I looked up. And when I looked up, his hand was right there. I got his hand. He threw me up in the air, caught me like this, and was laughing. He said, now look down. I looked down and I saw that my feet had only been this far. That'll preach. Some of you think this is unto death. Some of you think, oh, this is too big. I can't make it. And God is saying, look up. You really think this is too much for me? Do you think I've moved? My hand, just like Peter in the water. Come here, boy. I got you. Where did my father get that from? Where did Peter get that from? My favorite scripture in the Bible. Psalms 121. How do you walk on the water? Keep your eyes where they need to be. Psalms 121. I will lift up mine eyes to the mountains, aka hills, where my help comes from. My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. Next one. He will not let your foot slip. Good God. He who watches over you will not slumber. Indeed, he who watches over Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. What is he saying? You got an insurance policy. When you're sleeping, he's looking. When you can't see your way, he sees the way. All he wants you to do is lock eyes with him. If you knew Jesus was with you, what would your response be to trouble? If I got a baseball bat in my hand and a bully comes to try to beat me up, if I got a bill that's $500 and I'm thinking I'm going to be put outdoors, but I know that my father has a bank account that covers the world. But if I keep looking at the storm and I stop looking at Jesus, I start to sink. Simple. Your key to walking on the water, whatever water experience you have. In church, let's just be honest, serve notice to yourself. How many water walkers are in this room? If you haven't walked, you will walk. If you haven't walked, there will come a day when you will walk on the water. And if you want to pass the test, Jesus is simply saying, at that moment, don't you forget to keep your eyes on me. Because the key to you getting through trouble is knowing who's with you in trouble. My eyes are set. The Anchor Series, I remember the song. We sung it all the time in church. Be sure, be very sure that your anchor holds to the solid rock. And that rock is not your 401k. It ain't your spouse. It ain't your career. It ain't your degree. Your rock, your anchor is Jesus. Last time I checked, if Jesus is your anchor, you ain't gonna sink. It's impossible because the hand of the Lord is too strong to be moved by anything it made. Repeat, the hand of God is too strong to be moved by anything it made. If he made it, he controls it. storms in your life come, God didn't get surprised. He's just waiting to see. Are you going to keep looking at it? Or are you going to focus and look at me? So my challenge this week for the congregation, this week, identify if it's just one thing, that area of trouble that you are facing, and make a concerted effort to focus on Matthew 14 and be like Peter when he started and keep with it. Say, God, I see this, I hear this, I feel the wind, I know it's here, but I believe you're able to walk me on this water. And when I get to the other side, I'm going to tell everybody how God took me from here to there, and the only foundation was Jesus. I pray for everyone in this room, and I pray this prayer. I pray that whatever situation you're facing, that God, you meet them at the point of their need. Show yourself strong. Let Pastor Micah have too many notes to even explain how you came through and walked them on the water of sickness, of lack of disease, mental destruction, marriages, everything. God, let it be testimony after testimony of how in the middle of a storm, in the midst of trouble, they kept their eyes on you and you walked them to victory. We call this thing done. God bless. Amen.